Thursday, the 1st of May, Yud Aleph L'Omer, Zion Yaakov Yisrael Lichtenstein, Chodosh, and Yoshon Nowadays.
A famous Zohar, which in Bamidbar, which everybody knows, HaKoyel Toli B'mazel, HaFilu Sefer Torah Shebeheichel. Everything has its day, and everything has its mazel. And Chumras and Kulas are the same way. Every Kula, or every Chumra, has its time and its place. And we're going to speak about this morning. The question of Chodosh is a real typical example of those type of chumras that have its time and its day. What's interesting, of course, that it's not only a new issue, but the fact that Chodosh, whether Chodosh was an issue, is already several hundred years old. Whether one should be machmir in Chodosh. The reason I say this is because there are some things such as glatt kosher, which years ago, how many people ate glatt kosher? Very few people ate glatt kosher. Today in America, you can't find kosher anymore. You can only find glatt kosher. Now, how that fits in with the realities, because the behemoths haven't changed. So exactly how it really fits in with the realities of how much glatt kosher there is, I'm not going to comment. I'm only going to speak about Chodosh this morning. The other thing that one has to realize about Chodosh is that if you are machmir in it, and we're going to discuss this issue, whether one should be machmir or not, but if you are machmir in it, it actually has, it only applies in a practical sense for certain months of the year, and but it can have a wide range effect on one's almost daily living, because Chodosh affects the five grains, and I'm going to show you where it's present in some things that you never even could have imagined that there is a shaila over Chodosh. The basics of the Isser is, of course, the Pasuk in the Torah, says V'lechem, V'koli, V'karmel, Lo'yseichlu ad etzem hayoim hazeh, which is referring to the day of the Omer, that until the Omer was brought, it was forbidden to eat anything made from the five grains, which is, of course, wheat, rye, spelt, oats, and barley. Now, some of them, of course, are common. Some of them are less common. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, definitely, one could not eat Chodosh, something that was new in that year, until the Omer was brought on the 16th day of Nisan. The question, of course, is whether it applies nowadays. And in fact, so we don't bring an Omer today. What happens on the 16th day of Nisan? But before we get into the halachas, I just want to explain to you a little bit the practicalities, why I say that. So one of the factors, one of the major factors that you have to take into account whenever you're dealing with Chodosh is where you live and where the food is coming from. Why I say that is as follows. The weather is actually a very important factor in determining if you're going to have a problem of Chodosh. Why is that? Because if the tvua, if the grain has been mushrash, has taken root, and that means you only need 3 days, is what we've asked him, for it to take before the 16th day of Nisan, or if it's been sown before the 14th day of Nisan, then you're not going to have a problem of Chodosh, because immediately the 16th day of Nisan will be Matir. Today that we don't have the Omer, the day itself is Matir, so which day I'll get to in a minute. And so you realize right away that it makes a difference what's the climate, because you can only sow these things when you have a warm climate. And that's why for practical reasons, English wheat is almost never a problem, because almost all English wheat, because we have mild winters, is planted much earlier than in other places where you have cold winters, where you say Canada, where I guess a lot of the wheat comes from, has much colder winters, and so the planting will take place later. So one of the factors, of course, is the wheat that's coming from, is it coming from a colder climate or a warmer climate? Factor number one. Factor number two is the calendar. Because when you have, think to yourself, If you have Pesach coming out later in the year, then you have more of a chance of it becoming mutter, because by that time, even in a colder climate, they may have already sown by that day. So the real problem comes about when you have a cold climate and Pesach coming early. And I always say, so the year before Ibriyar is the year before where you have two others, when Pesach is going to come early, that is it going to be, that year you're going to have your problem. On the other hand, when Pesach is a Ibriyar, when you have Pesach from an Ibriyar, you're not going to have that problem, because of course it will happen that the Omer, the day of the Omer will be matzah. That's one factor. Two factors: the temperature, the weather, and then the date. The next thing that is relevant, let's say, for us living in England, is what kind of flour we're talking about. There's a big difference between something, let's say, cake flour. Cake flour is almost no problem, and because the we don't need for cakes the any of that what's called a strong flour. And so, yeah, can even someone who's going to be machmer doesn't really have to worry about it. I also mention this because when you travel, you don't have to worry too much about biscuits and cakes. That's the problem, of course, is speaking about spaghetti, I don't want to get diverted from it, but spaghetti, most pastas come from Italian wheat. And when Italian wheat, or sometimes Turkish wheat, nicht Turkischerweiz, but wheat from Turkey, and that's no problem, because again, there are mild climates, warm climates, the sowing will be done before. What we do have a problem in... The rule is that if it's been mushrush, 3 days have passed from when it's been sown, it's considered that year's. So if we were to plant something Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then it's considered the year before. When Tes Zayin Nisan comes around, it's Mutter already. So that's why it's so important to realize where it's coming from, of course, what the weather is like. Excuse me? Cake flour doesn't, because it's local flour, as I said. In this country, where you have mild climate, there's very little chodosh in this country for wheat. For oats, we're going to see, oats is worse.
Almost.
Okay. In Canada would be a problem. I'm going to speak about this country, okay? Because, as I say, these different countries.
If you plant the wheat before Pesach, yeah?
3 days before.
And then, when can you eat it?
Immediately afterwards.
Not before that Pesach.
Not before that Pesach, but immediately after Pesach. If you want to make matzah for it won't grow that quickly, but.
If it did grow that quickly.
And you
it's going to be planted before the Pesach, after which you're going
to
eat it.
It has to be, if Pesach has come about and it's been in that ground 3 days sown, it's mutter. Fine. Okay, so there you have that's a problem. A certain Talmud Chacham who held himself out to be a Machmer once explained to me once why he's Machmer on Chodesh till Shavuos. I've never understood that, because Tes Zayin Nisan is matir. Yeah. Sorry.
Otherwise, anyone waits for the whole problem.
Oh yes, yeah. And if you plant it right after Pesach, you know, just in a practical sense, we speak about the 16th, or really the 7th in Halacha L'Maaseh. Since the Sfeika the Yoyma, some say we should be machmir the Halacha. We wait till the 17th. That was the night of the 18th. But since I don't know anybody actually who bakes on Pesach, it's always on Ugea, always starting after Pesach. So where the real problem is, if I was going to select a window of when your problem is, in practical problems, anything that is sown after Pesach will only hit the market for wheat in the end of November. So someone who's going to be machmir on Chodosh, around the end of November, middle of November, is when he may have to start worrying about this. That's because, as I say, since that spring wheat as it's sown until it's reaped, until it's harvested, until actually it comes to the mill, ground, into the companies, etc. The flour, practically you have to worry about it only, let's say, the middle of November. Matzus. Matzus. Well, I would assume that matzus is under a hechsher, and I think that those sherim should be responsible to make sure that it doesn't come from chodesh. So that I say, in a practical sense, that's really when you're going to be worried. And in fact, today, that Baruch Hashem, we have come now to a situation where most of the hechsherim, not local hechsherim, are makbid on chodesh. They make sure there's two companies that ADM and Marriage, which are the main suppliers of flour. We make sure that we have just adequate supplies to keep us going for those months. The reason, again, some of the problems of Chodosh and Din is not only Vaday Chodosh, but I would say Suffolk Chodosh. Chodosh has a problem is in that Chodosh does not become bottle, because Chodosh is a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin means that that something that will come automatically mutter, it doesn't become bottle. And Chodesh will become automatically mutter when the 16th day of Nisan comes around. Even though the business opinion, the Bach wants to say that Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin does not apply here because it will automatically again become Osir later on. And so the Ramos says that if it automatically becomes mutter and Osir, it doesn't have the rule Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. But the Prima Gadim and the Pri Chodesh both point out this wheat is going to remain mutter. So even it's other wheat that will become osir. So if it's, so because it's the Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin problem, Chodosh will always have the problem in that it's not bottled. And that's, that of course is a problem, because even a minute amount of Chodosh. I was going to mention later on, but I'll just say it now already, why there are some things that you would never dream have a problem of Chodosh do have. And I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. Would you ever imagine that cornflakes could have a problem of Chodosh? Cornflakes is corn. It's not one of the Chamesh Saminim. But cornflakes contains malt, which comes from barley, which is one of the Chamesh Saminim. And so something like cornflakes can have a problem of Chodosh. I don't admit. Whiskey will also, according to the opinions that and we postulate those opinions, that Isser of Chodosh also applies to drinks that are made from it. In fact, my colleague Diane Berkowitz, all of us shalom, always points out that one of the main impetuses of trying to look for a heter in Chodosh years ago was beer, because of unhygienic issues with water. Beer used to be drunk in all over Europe as almost as a substitute for water. And beer was a problem, because beer again contained the issues from the barley, and so you had the problem of chodosh in beer, and that pushed it. Another thing that one always has to think about the practicalities is times change, situations change. I'll just give you an example. We give a hechsher on Quaker oaks, and in the last, let's say, decade, I would say, many more people eat oats than they used to. Oats has become much more popular. They think it's healthy, etc. And so, where once upon a time the issue of chodosh was not so relevant, today with they're using so much of the oats, and oats come very from the north of England and from Scotland, and so therefore there is quite a bit of problem. So we have to ensure there is no problem of chodosh. And although today, with all kinds of methods of traceability, it's actually much more possible to do it, it's a lot of work. That the kashrus authorities are, when they have to work on the question of chodosh, are pretty hard pressed. There's quite a bit of work. Also, not only, I said, oats from Scotland, also Scandinavia is quite a high a source of oats, and Scandinavia, like the north of Scotland, is cold. And as I said, told you before, wherever you have cold climates, that's where your problem of chodosh. I've understood, I haven't done any work on myself, but I've been told that spelt has a high incidence of chodosh, although a lot of the spelt issues, the things that are coming with hechsherim from America. And today, as I say, you'll say Baruch Hashem, Ach Shedora, there are there's many more machmirim on chodosh. In fact, today when you go in Boropak, every pizza store advertises Kemach Yoshon to prove that there is no Chodosh. No. But the question is, why is it that Chodosh had this unusual type of situation with some people were Machmir and some people weren't? Not only weren't they Machmir, but some people were particular not to be Machmir in Chodosh. Dafke not. Why is that? Why should there be almost an antipathy towards a Chumrah? The reason is because the Bach, who was one of the major Mekilim in the question of Chodosh and of Chodosh Shel Anachrim, which mostly Chodosh Chutzlaretz is, at the end of his whole long discussion on Chodosh, says it's mutter in Chutzlaretz, the one of the Goyim, and unless someone is known for his fastidiousness, it's really particular to be a machmir, he shouldn't be machmir. He speaks quite strongly against someone who is machmir in Chodosh, unless you're zeirach from a yid. And it's interesting. I heard that they say over the chassidim say that the Baal Shem Tov said that in Himmel men yepaskid vidus bach, and that's why in many Hasidic circles, even people Rabbonim and Rebbes who were so machmir in every single thing, they weren't machmir in Chodesh. They were particular not to be machmir in Chodesh. They shouldn't be accused of trying to be frumer than they really were. So that's some of the reasons why Chodesh was not followed. However, during the history, there have been the issue of Chodesh has come up time and again, and there were those who were makbid, rabbonim, etc., who were makbid on Chodesh in Chutz Laretz. And again, we're speaking only in Chutz Laretz. Chodesh in Yisrael is no suffix, no shayla about that. Everyone has to be makbid, but in Chodesh in Chutz Laretz is what we're speaking about. There was certain rabbonim who were known to be makbid. Why is it? What's the halachic basis for this whole issue? Well, if one who wants to do some light reading, you can open up the Shagasari, who has a long shtigl or the Pnei Yeshua, who has in the end of Kiddushin had a Kuntras Achron, or one reads the Pilpulim even of the Mishnas Yankif, etc. It's quite extensive, these Achronim, but starts off as follows. In the issue of Chutz Laretz is really, it starts off with a machlokes tanoim. There are two mishnas. There's a mishnah in Kiddushin and a mishnah in Orlo. In the tanoim, you have Blazerim, Shimon Yochai, Rabbi Akiva. There a machmirim, and you find the Tanakama, Blazerim Shimon is Mekel. The discussion is, as I say, there's two sugi in Kiddushin, sugi in Menachos. It's not even a machlokes Amoroim. And then, at the end of the day, and here's the interesting part, it's a machlekes haposkim. But the traditional poskim are all machmir. The Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, they all are machmir. And in fact, when one looks in this Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, it also is the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch are also machmir. The Goyin is machmir. The Taz is nistavik, but the classical achronim are machmir in Chodesh and Chutz Laretz. The Bach, who's the Mekel on Chodesh Nochri, paskins that it's only midah rabbanan. But also, as far regularly, if we look at it from a plain halachic viewpoint, it would appear that one should be machmir and Chodesh in Chutz Laretz. The question is like this. There is a whole shaila in achroidim in when we pass in halachas. If it's only a drabonon, can b'shas hadchak, can we be soymich on the mekilim? Taz and others, they say that when, even if someone is normally wouldn't have been makel, but it's there is a shatach chak. Now, why say shatach chak? I mentioned before the whole issue of beer. Beer was so central to the diet in those days that it was almost impossible to live without beer. And that's why you find that the achronim they went to great lengths to try to be matzdik the minug of allowing chodosh to be eaten, even though, as I said, the traditional poskim are machmer, and that's why it's a strange thing that all of a sudden when it comes to such a major issue, which some hold is even to a rice in chutzlart or zarbon in chutzlart, we find the shikas habach that's mekel, etc. But there are other reasons also. The Ramah in Yeridaya comes up with an interesting sfeik. There's some old source. What is the sfeik? He says, whenever you have sfeik chodosh, not vare chodosh, right? You have sfeik chodosh in front of you. He says, this is sfeik. What is the sfeik? Sfeik echod, was it sown this year or was it sown last year? Year meaning Tezayin Nisan. And even if it was sown this year, maybe it was mushrash, it took root 3 days before. Now, why do I call it strange? As Rabbi Kreger points out, he says, this is one suffix. Why call this two spagas? It's suffix echot lifnei tezayin or akar tezayin. There's not a problem with it. A very practical problem today, gizmanazeh, with this sfeik. The rule is, it's sfeik, it's a machlok, it's why we're making a sfeik. But normally, the rule is, it's a mitam roi, the Rishonim say. We have a rule, though. Kol hecha de'efshel of rurei, kol mevaririmim. It's what a sfeik is, if you can't find out, but if you could find out, that's just being lazy. Today, the way it works, everything is so, today, because of traceability issues by the goyim, it's extremely easy. It's possible to check almost every batch where it came from. I was yesterday in a factory in Germany on another issue, and the shichlul, the technology available today in traceability is marvelous. It's startling how things can be traced back where it came from and when it was sown. So today we have a bit of a problem with this Ramos Shita on Sveik that it shouldn't apply because of Kol HaKadosh Shlavur Kamer Varim. That's one. There's another heter that's brought down. Interesting, the Mishnah Brewer seems to say that this heter was relied upon, and that was some poskim said that the only problem of Chodosh and Chutz Loretz is those areas of Chutz Loretz that are samuch to Eretz Yisrael, that are next to Eretz Yisrael, but places that are further away, like where we are, doesn't have that the Isser of Chodosh in Chutz Loretz. If that's the case, then as far as we're concerned, we would have no problem. And it seems that I said the Mishnah Berurah is mashma. The Mishnah Berurah said that was one of the bases for the Heter. But the two main heterim, I said either Chodosh or Chutz Loretz, and most important, they will soon see, is a Chodosh from that was grown by Goyim. Now, some of you are probably asking the following question. The Torah says, Mi Moshvoseichem Tavyu Lechem Tenuva. Moshvoseichem means from wherever you live, the Omer comes, and according, generally, except the Samri Shalom, wherever the Omer comes, that's where Chodosh is also. So the question is, why could there be a Havamina even to say that Moshvoseichem does not include Chutz Loretz? And the answer to that is because the Gemara says that those opinions that Amatya Chodosh and Chutz Loretz say Moshvoseichem means not where you live, but after the kibush and chiluk in Eretz Yisrael, when you settle, not where you settle. That when you settle, that's when the Isser of Chodosh began, and not where. And that's what goes through in the later Poskim, that whole issue. In fact, if you look at the Mishnah Yankov, Mishnah Yankov says, he has a whole tshuva, and he shows, he's mefalpel, on what's the psak halacha on this issue, if Nisachim HaBoyim come from Chutzlaret or not. That was a Chutzlaret. The main heter, which is probably operative today, is the question is whether Chodesh applies to Tvua Shel Goyim. Now, in Tvua of Goyim, of course, there's the issue of Tvua that was in Eretz Yisrael also, because, as you know, there is a machlokes if we hold Yesh Kinyan or Ein Kinyan, whether the Yesh Kinyan le'akum le'hafkia to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, even though today we pass like the Rambam that Kedusha Shnir, for as far as Mitzvah Hapluyas Bo'oretz, is Kitchel HaShat of a Kitchel Osid Lavoy, that the Lin, but the whole basis of the Heter Mechira for Shemitah, that if you hold Yesh Kinyan in a Drabonon, that the fact that it belonged to a Goy, that is enough to take away from the Sinyan. However, in Chodosh, it's questionable whether it applies, the issue of Yesh Kinyan. But more important, when we come to Chutzlar, so we don't have too many Jewish farmers, right? And as I think that they could safely assume that Chodosh and Chutzlar is being grown by Goyish farmers. The question is there a problem of Chodosh in Tvuas Akum? And it starts off because the Omer itself, the Torah says, Ktsir Kamimar, says, Veloy Ktsir Akum. So the question is, does it apply to something that's brought by Goy? So you know, normally it's something that is totally in the Kedushas in character shouldn't depend on whether it comes from Goyim or not. But that's what the issue is. In fact, the Bach's main heter revolves around this issue, whether we can be making on the fact that the Chodosh came from Chutzlarts. And there is a later, do we paskin like the Bach? There's a Machner who's Mekel, etc. But again, very interesting. The major Achronim, the Taz, the Shach, as I mentioned before, the Shach Yisari, all of these are Machmir in Tvua Shel Akum. And there is one Sefer, Knesset Yecheskel, who wants to make a Nachkemina. He makes a Chiluk whether it belonged to an Akum in Eretz Yisrael. There he says it's Osur, or whether Akum in Chutzlars, he says, is Mutter. Now Yeshua, however, argues, so that Machloikis, whether it applies in Shel Akum, is even now goes even to Bisman Hazeh. The Orach HaShulchan, that's already speaking already Heinzke Poskim, all the Poskim that it's also bir rabbonon bishel akum. So again, I say when you look at if one looks at the majority of the poskim, the majority of the poskim would seem to indicate that we should be machmir and that we shouldn't be maker. The question, of course, is what happens in the suffix? Does the rule of suffix the rabbonon lekula apply to this? Now, it has relevance. I mentioned before that the 16th day is what's Mekel. That was in the Bisman Beis HaMikdash, the Oimer was brought in the 16th day. Nimora says, when the Oimer is not brought, the 16th day is Mishaheir Mizrach Matir. Nevertheless, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takona, Yoim Honav Kuli Osir, that the 16th day will also remain also Bisman Hazeh. The Gemara says, there was a Gzera, we're afraid that lost in love, like people won't, when Mashiach comes, we won't be sure, what happened last year, was the 16th or the 17th. That's why he asked it. The question is, and now that in Chutzlar, that we have a Sveik of the Yoima, there are some Achrayim who say Sveik of the Yoima shouldn't apply, because it's Saved Rabbonim Lekula. But in the major Rishayim say that the Saved Rabbonim Lekula applies, it does not apply in as far as the Sveik of the Yoyim. Now just to finish up, however, Bisman Hazeh, today, where there is a suffix that is not traceable, and sometimes you can you have a suffix, we mentioned before there's a problem of Dovah Sheyesh Lo Matirin, that's where it's Vada. But what happens if you have a suffix, remember Dovah Sheyesh Lo Matirin is not bottle, it's only Midrabonon. and I have a suffix, if the Easter is here in the first place, then you have taka a valid Sveik Sveika, not the Ramos Sveika, but another Sveik Sveika. It's a suffix if I have it here, and that will be a suffix in the Easter of the Rabbonah, so that would be another basis lakula. As I would say, it's what's happened in the reality is that Bizman Hazeh, it's become fashionable again, the Chumrah. My colleague Dan Berkowitz, Zichron Levrocha, fought very hard to try to introduce this Chumrah here, and Baruch Hashem, even though there was some resistance, the resistance is crumbling, and now we could say that the bakeries, the majority of the bakeries today in London, are machmer, even though they don't have very large signs to that effect. And the same is true of the restaurants and what's often for the however, if a private person wants to be made, well, yes, on the least work, and certainly shouldn't be criticized.